You've landed at the 13 Moons Women's Temple podcast with your hosts, Sam and Leela.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
I was just thinking it might be nice just to start with a little breath.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we'd do what came to us to do, the dopamine breath. I think it's actually just a really good breath. It's sort of said to create dopamine, but I think it also just really deeply relaxes us and puts us into the parasympathetic. Ultimately, it stops you from being reactionary, which I think would be a good thing to have up your tool belt or in your tool belt this week. So we'll just do that for a moment. So that's okay.
Yeah, perfect.
So we'll just center ourselves. Just feel the energy in your body. And rather than tuning in out loud, I'll just invite you to just feel and hear the sound current. Om Namo Guru Dev Namo. Om Namo Guru Dev Namo. Om Namo Guru Dev Namo. And just feel that connection to your inner self for a moment, your higher self, your intuition. And then we'll just go through this breath. We don't need to do too many of it then to make it effective, but it will just really bring you into a deep balancing place. So we'll just inhale through the lips as if you're sucking on a straw. And just pause at the top, hold the breath, maybe put the tongue to the roof of the mouth for a moment. And then gently exhale through the nose. And we'll do four more, nice and slow like that. And once you finish your last breath, just returning to a natural breath, just observing the subtle shifts of your mind. Of your body, the coolness in your mouth. Gentle breath in and exhaling.
It's magic how that works.
Yeah, it really is. Also remembering the powerfulness of just to the roof of your mouth. So if you're just really feeling a sort of sense of overwhelm and you can't do like a big breath, you can just press the tongue to the roof of the mouth and it will just bring you back into the present moment. Really good tool to come into the present moment. So as we're pressing into the roof of the mouth, we're pressing and stimulating into the upper palate, which is actually sort of pressing pressure, which is coming up through the nasal passage, connecting to the pituitary, the pineal. And that's just helping you to come into the present. You don't really have to do anything else, and it will just help. It's just a really good practice. It also stops you clenching the jaw, which is something we all do. So well, not all of us, but it's very common. Clenching the jaw is something I talk to a lot of people about. So you can't just try. You can happily clench your jaw and press into your mouth. Right. So it immediately stops that. And that unclenching is actually going to help you come into that first place of relaxing. So it's just a great grounding tool when we don't know what to do. Better than saying anything sometimes. That's another tool of it. So rather than actually saying something, you don't really want to bite your tongue. Instead of biting your tongue, press the tongue to the roof of your mouth.
That's a neat trick. That's a neat throat chakra.
Yes, Venus gate. So just give you time to think, do I need what I'm thinking, I should say. And so then we can start to, as soon as you've done that, you're going to slightly take yourself out of that frontal lobe. And the more we can come back to the frontal lobe, the more we're actually going to become aware of what we're consciously bringing into being. Cool. Good. Okay, well, and these are just things I think are quite handy this week. Because we'll talk about everything that's happening this week, but even just there's more magnetic activity today, and so whether it's solar flares.
Sorry if that got really loud. Hang on. Yeah, sorry. It's a car just leaving.
Oh, sounds like a sort of, it sounds like, do you remember when tellies used to, they don't do it anymore. Do you remember when tellies used to go at the end of the night and it would stop? Did that happen here in Australia? And the telly would stop?
Yeah, the white noise. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. That's just interesting to think about. Tellies used to stop.
That's such a cool thought, because it did, yeah, the broadcast would end. Man.
It's, you know, just in England, I don't know if this happened, but in England, CBeebies, which is what eventually we didn't, you know, that's what the children would watch, that finished. After story time, it stopped. And that was it. Nothing for the children. CBeebies had finished. It was bedtime. Like,
I know. Like, colliding realities, it feels like
like on the spiral. This is really, it's really good a time for this sort of awareness. And I think what I've been thinking about a lot this week is we'll launch into sort of talking about why we're here, but we are in the middle of these two, we're not in the middle, we're moving towards this lunar eclipse on Saturday. It's a partial lunar eclipse, not a full lunar eclipse in the sky. The sky that you can see, the real sky, it's going to be in Libra, which is interesting, and we'll cover that in a moment. Currently the moon's sitting in Virgo, and the sun is in Aries, in the real sky. And we've already had this solar eclipse, which we talked about at great length, and this hybrid solar eclipse, which we described as being kind of like a retrograde eclipse. So it's really good to sort of just pay attention to things like that, like when you have a thought, oh, that's something from the past that's coming up. And we are going through evolutionary shifts right now, quite quick shifts, and the opportunity to really jump timelines. So it's really good to have awarenesses of when your mind goes back to a memory, to notice how those memories made you feel. To me, that seems like a calm time. The reality is it wasn't calm. I had small children. But but you know, in my mind there's a sort of a longing for the simplicity. And so that's a revisit. That's the there's a longing for that simplicity, but of course that simplicity is available to us, even though telly is available 24 hours a day. That's my choice to watch it, but I can turn it off at any point. So we are we're in quite an energetically strong week, which we really should be making time to contemplate how it is that we're feeling, what it is that we are predominantly doing right now, and to take stock and really be clear about what it is that we want to cleanse and clear from our lives, because this lunar eclipse affords us that. And then on top of that, that's layered with the Sabbat of Samhain. So Leela's going to discuss the ecliptic and the fact that that is normally connected to a date, but obviously as the real sky obviously moves and we're adapting to that also, those dates move and shift according to the alignment of the sky, the sun and the moon, and where we are in the great wheel of life. So there's a lot to be thinking about. And so if you are feeling a bit overwhelmed and a little bit frazzled, or maybe just like you're desiring to find some clarity in it all, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. This festival of Samhain, Halloween, is also, it's, you know, the name of the festival, and has become a commercial, a very popular commercial celebration. And you'll sort of think, but it's not October. And so in the Northern Hemisphere, this season occurs in October. But in the Southern Hemisphere, we're having it now. And it's the shift, it's the point where we're coming close to winter. We've left summer, we've left the fertility, we've left the growth, we've left the establishment of it all. And as we go through autumn is the time of harvesting the fruits of the labor of spring and summer, and it is the time where we're coming to the end, and we're transitioning to the end. And if you're fortunate enough to be able to see any trees that lose its leaves, I can't think what that's called. I keep thinking it's deciduous, but I think maybe that's what it is. And the trees are coming to the end of their annual cycle, and it's a time for really recognizing that. So, you know, this is what the mantra Sa Ta Na Ma represents, and we're in that season of the na, of the recognition that everything must slow down and have a completion point. And it's the slowing down that is really, really important to think about in our lives. And maybe we'll talk about this, because we were just talking about it before we came on, how in our modern lives we're not really willing to slow down ever. But also from a metaphysical point of view, this is the time where traditionally cultures have celebrated, where the veil is the thinnest, and where the spirit realm and the ether is very, very relevant. And if you study the elements, the tapas, earth, air, fire, water, ether, the fire and the earth and the water are very much those elements that make up the spring and the summer. And the air and the ether element is more predominant in the autumn and in the winter. And this is in our lives, this is in our bodies, this is in our lifetimes, it's in our nature, it's in our food. It's the whole cycle of prana as it moves through the material plane. And we want to, you know, it's where we come close to death. It's where we come close to the endings, and it's where we come to contemplating that nothing is permanent, and that even at our own personal levels, we too will transition and leave this plane. And on that note, this is a time where we have a real connection to those spirit realms right now. And that is, you know, what a lot of the Halloween festival is sort of highlights and focuses on, is that we move around with the spirits and the ghosts and the ghouls and the witches, and And really right now we can be those modern day witches where we can be in communion with the spirit realms for the lessons that we need to be understanding. What do I need to know going into winter? What do I need to be listening to going into winter? And does the spirit realm have words for you? So it's a really cool portal. And what makes it even more exquisite this year is that it's bookended by these eclipses. And so it's just not something that you really want to be ignoring. So, but the thing, what's interesting to note, so that's very earthbound and that's wonderful. If you are interested in, did you want to say something?
Just the actual real point of Sir Wayne and this point is being the Witch's New Year is that it is seen as the end. It is actually seen as this death point. So that's why really we connected so much to the Halloween and to the, you know, from a pagan point of view, it is seen as the end. Because actually when we get to the solstice, so the winter solstice, preparing for that new light is coming. So it's actually, that is the point where the first start of the turn begins and light comes back. So this is actually the end. And this is why we start there. And that's why, in that blog post, I was saying this is the point of us being in the womb space. So it's actually that this is the point that we go back into the womb, and that's the seasonal shift that's occurring. And if we think about the womb and all the energies that are, you know, if we relate to the womb, the way that the womb is dark, sort of in my mind, I want to say moist. You know, it's like got that underwater sense. I don't know, that sort of sound. That's what we hear when we listen to the, you know, so we have that feeling, the muffled sounds, the sort of messages, but the muffled sounds, we're not quite sure where the sounds are coming from. And the opportunity to completely go back in. So it's like a way of contemplating hibernation, where we actually want to go back into the womb. So we've sort of, we're dying and coming into the womb space. And the womb space is not the birth. The birth is going to be at winter solstice. But we have started the newness. I just think it's just magic, because if we think about where we are, when we were discussing on the moon circles, the solar eclipse, we were talking about how the solar eclipse and the positioning of the moon at that time was really like we were in the birth canal. And actually, if we think about where Sir Wayne is in between these two eclipses, it is exactly that. We're not ready to be born yet. That's still coming. We are in the womb. We're actually, like it says, we're in that holding place, and we are there pausing and waiting and really deciding what it is that we're going to bring with us into the new world. And those of you that are traveling with us in the Venus Gateways, we're talking about this. What is it you actually want to, having got rid of everything, what is it you actually want to take with you? I think this is a big struggle for us as humans. Can I actually fully shed myself of everything? And if I do, what is actually my truth? What is what I want to walk through life with, you know, what are the things, what are the beliefs, what are the behaviors? And it is just a really phenomenal energy to sit in and contemplate that. So this Sabbat of Sir Wayne, you know, I think, yeah, absolutely. If you think about it from, you know, an American point of view and running around with candy and all that sort of stuff, we're actually very lucky because we're not getting caught up in that right now. We can actually drop into the truth of what it is, and we can feel that in our energies and with the astrology that's, you know, is up there in the real sky right now. It really supports it. And so from this place, when the veil is so thin and we're in this point of Sir Wayne, it is an opportunity to become very, very aware of our higher consciousness, and then ultimately the universal consciousness, that sense of oneness, because we're really in the womb of that. And that, to me, That's what this is about. If we are in the process, some of us, of believing that there is a new earth coming, there is an ultimate shift occurring, then we are currently in the womb of the universal consciousness. And we're contemplating what it is that we want to see when we come out of that vagina.
The great yoni.
Exactly. The great. I think the only way that you can actually be in the universal consciousness womb space is to actually stop. There is no doing, because you can't think about what can a baby do? Nothing. You can stretch a bit.
Roll around. Well, hang on, the sound is back.
And so we're there. We're in that right now. And I feel like, yeah, it's not a mistake that it's at this time.
No, it's a profound opportunity that we have the ability to be able to be conscious within the times that we have. So if you're listening to this, I said this on the last moon circle, it's one thing to be told that there's an eclipse happening, and it's one thing to be told that, you know, it's Sawain. It's something else entirely to do something with that information. And to be a conscious participant in the energy, in your inquiry, to be consciously maneuvering your consciousness through this time in this space right now with an intention for it to be for your spiritual evolution, or maybe even just a level of awakening, that is the smallest percentage of people on the planet right now. I'm sorry if it's a bit noisy. And it's this kind of awakening that is happening that is only going to call the new earth in, or we're only going to actually ever see any change because it is what it is that we desire. And so if we're living loaded with stress, or we're living just loaded with preoccupation for whatever, because we think we need to make so much money, or we think we need this kind of car, or we think we need to live in this particular suburb, or we believe that we need to follow in the footsteps of our parents, or whatever it is, if we just stay there, nothing is ever going to change, unless you really, really love it and it's really, really working for you. But fundamentally, your health will tell you whether it's really working for you. And there will come a catalyst point where there's a handbrake that happens, and it's that handbrake where the body has just said, it's time to change. And this is one of those times, or one of those seasons, where the energy is just so there. It's like we really want to be marking it in our calendars that this is the portal, this is the window where we can do really deep spiritual communion within the universal realms, more so than you can any other time of the year, because the ether is so thin, because the light is so thin, and because of the tantric line of the energy, the way that the energy is going to be, is being cast over the earth at the moment, and will culminate on Saturday. When we hit that exact point where we're on the midpoint of the equinox, in Kundalini yoga, you know, we work with those tantric lines of energy, and this will be one of those times where it will be for the expansion of your consciousness.
And I think yeah, absolutely. When you were talking, then I was just contemplating that. Yeah, it's very much about that. It's about, are you aware of what's happening? Are you actually making space in your life to contemplate this? Are you meditating? I don't know. Personally, I just think this is the time to be spending time in meditation, or still, however you want to describe it. But, for me, it's meditation. And also the other thing that really strikes me about this time is that we have to become aware that life is not going to continue the way it is. It is very likely that things are going to change. None of us know how that's going to be. None of us can really ever know what is going to come. But this is a profound time to get used to the idea that nothing is permanent. That's what death means. It is a very profound time to get used to that. What is actually permanent? Nothing. Nothing. Things like your financial situation, not permanent. Your home, not permanent. At any point, nature, just take out your home. It's not a nice thought. I don't want to dwell on it too much because it might be stressful for you, but it's actually something to contemplate. The things that you are grasping, gripping, holding on to dear life and creating a lot of stress in your life around are not permanent. And what do we do about that? What happens? What do you feel like if someone was to take those things away, take your money away, take your car away, take your loved ones away? What does that make you feel like? That's the place to go right now, because it's in there, in those places which are seen as being those dark places, or really the places that we don't ever want to truly discuss or go to, that we will find our truth and we will find out what's actually important to us. If you were to draw a list of everything in your life, what are the things that you cannot be without? What are the things that actually mean the most to you? Ultimately, you can't have really rely on any of them, but what are those things? And I feel like this is a very good time to do that, because it is very likely that, well, we have, as a humanity, as a consciousness, we are moving towards a time where we're going to be more connected to nature and less connected to these material things. It's going to happen. It has to happen. It's part of the evolution of the epochs that we're moving through. And it will happen, and we won't have the same level of attachment to possessions or to materialistic things as we do now. It could be because we're in survival. It could be because we just evolve differently, but it's going to change. And for some of us, that's scary. And for some of us, it's just there. But we have to sit with it. That's what being in a womb space is about. Because in the womb, you can't do anything. You can hear it all happening, but you can't act on it. So how does that make you feel to not be in control? I think that's a big thing. So eclipses can shift things like that. They can just take you on a, that's the whole point of an eclipse. During an eclipse, it said that you can just move from one thing to another without you even knowing. So suddenly you'll be catapulted into something completely different. That is just not being in control. Many, many people struggle with not being in control. It's probably one of the main stresses that people have in life. So how do you feel if control is taken away from you? And why do you think you even have control anyway? Who told you you did? And prove to me where you do. Like, if you really want to, write in the chat or send us a message. I have control here. Just actually test it out on yourself. What do you have control over? Well, the only thing you have control over is your consciousness. Now, the beauty of this, sorry, I'm going on a bit, but the beauty of this is that if you actually start to understand that, so your consciousness is connected to your thoughts, to your mind. We've got an ego mind, you know, we've also got a higher self, and we also have a trainable mind in there. The point is, we can control, or we can begin to observe what is happening in our mind. If we start to pay more attention to our frontal lobe and less to being in a reactive state, we can actually start to program the conscious mind. That's the whole way that people, that's why people use affirmations. It's exactly that reason. Now, the beauty of this is, therefore, I could spend every waking moment working on my intentions and my beliefs that are not connected to fear or doubt or distrust. And I could actually focus on love, 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 or bliss, or peace. If I did that, if Leela did that, if everyone that came to this group that we're doing started to do that, we would start to shift the universal mind. And that's how and why we're moving towards a new consciousness right now, because more and more people are doing that. So really, what we're seeing in the external world is something that we have created from our minds that were programmed from the Piscean age. And now we're shifting. And as a result, we're starting to shift our beliefs. We're saying, well, these things aren't important to me anymore. This isn't as important. I actually want to live in a state of bliss. I actually want to live in a state of love. I'd like to be more connected to nature. Therefore, if the more people that start to think this, this is what we're actually going to start to see projected onto the great screen that is our world. And that's the movement towards 5D. 5D is just an explanation of this. It's not actually what it is at all. Yeah, the universe isn't going, oh, 5D, 5D is coming. The universe isn't doing that. That is what we've made up to explain to ourselves the shift of consciousness. But it's actually not what it is. It's actually just a stage that we will remember or re-reach as humans. But we need to have something tangible to, because we're simple, we need something that we can understand.
Well, I think because we live in a linear time denominated reality right now, which is the 4D. It's just the journey to the 5D. And it's not like 5D doesn't exist. It's just our capacity to perceive it is
well, it's fascinating because I think that's the big thing that's changing. We are losing, I keep contemplating this, we are losing a grip on linear time. Many of us now are not really being attached to time, or we're alluding to time isn't real. I can make time longer. Time is causing me stress, therefore it's not something I want to attach to. And it's actually shifting. So the way that we are feeling about time, or the way that we're behaving with time, is changing. And that's why people are saying we can now jump timelines. What's really fascinating about that is that if you think about what Sawayne is, Sawayne is really an opening of that portal. So it's almost like we've got this Sawayne portal opening where the ethers are thin and timelines become, well, not there. And we've got a lunar eclipse, which again is just exaggerating or, I can't think of the word, but you know what I mean? Increasing that shift. So your opportunity to jump timelines, or to even start to see timelines. People are talking about timelines, but just any people, it's just so random now. No one ever used to talk about it, but now people are saying, oh, in an alternative role, universe, I'm doing this. And they're starting to talk about it, just people everywhere.
Which is a 5D, which means that you're there. So the only way that you can perceive a lower dimension is to be in the next dimension. And so the cool thing about that is to be able to see time means that your consciousness at some degree is operating from the fifth dimensional reality. The next really, really cool thing about that is then to be able to see the 5D playing out means that your consciousness is attaining the sixth dimensional capacities. And so this is not to give anyone anything else to need to strive for, because that's not what this is about at all. But when we know that we can see alternate realities playing out on different timelines, or you know you're bending time, or you know that time is just irrelevant because the present moment is all that there is, and then your capacity to create and maneuver from the heart space up, you're in it. You're it's working. And that's the more
the basically what we're talking about there is we can become omnipresent.
Yeah.
That's that. Are you, do you have a sense, you know, can you be omnipresent? Anyway, just some mass expansion. It's because, and this is where, you know, I just find it so fascinating. If we are all part of one, so we are all part of one consciousness, ultimately created through the same, all cells respond to each other. So if you separate cells, they'll behave the same in a different place, far away. We are all just that. This is why there's, this is how you start to understand why there's a shift in consciousness and why we're starting to see it. But the point is, eventually, we could become one again. It's like, do you remember like when you used to do those experiments in the science lab? I can't think what it was. Was it mercury? Maybe. And it would all come back together. It would all want
to.
It's that. So at some point, and this is what we want as humans, you think about it, we all actually want to be together. We all want that. That's why we're relational. So I don't know, it just came to me, but there will be this point where we just, and that's when they're saying we'll all go back to that. And then we'll begin again.
And this is the divine potential of the human being. This is why the human being is such an exquisite, rare, what's the word? Well, being of the universe, is because we have a body, we have separation. That is the only thing that keeps us separated and not returning to the one, is because we're all those individual drops of that one energy or source or mercury, and separated by our physical bodies. However, the upper center capacities that we that the human being is gifted with, our expression, our capacity for emotion and feeling, the way that we communicate, our higher senses, the six senses, the all of the extra sensory, all of our energetic bodies, means that we can actually have the experience of that oneness while still being in the material plane, which is a universal, we're like the unicorns of the universe. And to be able to, and I think that, you know, if to go into reincarnation, it's why many of us go, we think in this life, and it's like, oh, I'm never coming back. And then once it's done, it's like, I cannot wait to get back there. because we can experience that ultimate union and divine love from a place of separation.
Yeah, eventually we will, though, what will obviously happen is we will evolve to the point where we no longer see all the atoms as solid. That's the point where this will shift. And that actually, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking that's how in the making moves through things. So it's once we have the realization that we are the atoms and the atoms aren't solid. Because one, you can prove that they're solid, but you can also prove that they're not. But we actually have to have a belief of that. Right now, I definitely believe I'm solid. But when I'm deep in meditation, I don't feel like there's anything.
No, totally. Our consciousness is very much trapped in, well, the suffering aspect of the human body, which is the lower triangle. It can be the only living in the lower triangle, where you're living in the suffering component of being trapped in this body and, you know, everything that comes with that as a collective. And this is what Atlantis was. This is the civilization of Atlantis, or pockets of it. As a collective society or species, we have the ability to live in that unity consciousness and all of the magic that comes from not being trapped just in this physical form, to be able to experience the magic and the wonder of the universe and of being a conscious entity of the universe. We're not, in these higher dimensions, we won't be just trapped in the suffering of the individuality. And that is available even right now. We don't have to wait for ascension. Like that is to be in your heart space. That it's just, if can you give yourself the opportunity to generate the energy to come up and to be in the expression of your heart space, and then we're there.
Without trying, this is the key. As soon as you try, it's not it. It was really fascinating. So it's like without the attachment, and if we have the attachment to trying to achieve something, we've dropped into the ego. And so we are in an extraordinary time, and I think ultimately it is just about finding space this week, finding space to ponder, to sit in deeper conversations if you can, or actually no conversation but stillness, to be in nature, to actually meditate on the stillness and silence that might be available to you just for one moment. It might not be that you think, well, I don't have the time, I'm so busy, I've got children, I've got work, I've got this. But then it's finding the gratitude that allows you to drop into a state of relaxation that then brings you to a point of being able to find that stillness, because we can find stillness in any moment. And it comes from actually being in the present and recognizing the complete present moment without trying to change it, that you will start to actually watch timelines shift, because you'll have an awareness of where they aren't there in your life. This is too interesting. You'll start to see the shift of yourself and find gratitude for the moment you're in.
And the recognition that you are the conscious director of your life. When you can see the timelines, you'll realize, we realize, I am the only one directing. I'm choosing. I'm making the choices. And, yeah, there's a lot of profound wisdom there.
It's actually having, because this is a big thing for us. We don't want to take responsibility. This is what we were talking about before. We know, and the truth is, we cannot make this evolutionary shift whilst we're all stressed and exhausted and in our sympathetic nervous system. If you're in the sympathetic nervous system, and it's not, there's no judgment at all, it's just the truth. If we are constantly in fight or flight, we're constantly in survival, and some of us we are for no fault of our own. So that's the journey that we're currently on our current timeline. That's the journey that we're currently on, and these things will change. But if we are there because, and humans have this capacity through our thoughts to put us into that. That's what's most interesting about humans. We're the only animal that can do that. Through our thoughts, we can put ourselves into fight or flight. So I could sit here and create fight or flight by thinking about something that happened to me before or that I don't want to happen. Kind of what a nightmare is, really. And so when we do that, what we actually want to be aware of is I cannot transcend. I cannot actually make a change or a shift if I am in that state. So the one thing I can do for myself is slow down, is to simplify, is to let go of my concepts of control, is to stop grasping, to stop wanting more, to stop thinking that there's more, and to actually become aware of what is. And that there is how we start to come out of that constant cycle of fear. And some of us need to some of us need help doing that. That, you know, and that is why we were talking about this earlier. Some of us do need help. Some of us need to do yoga, do restorative, do deep rest. They need to do things like that to help them to get the tools. We need to actually carve out time in our lives. For some of us, it can be that we're fortunate enough to just be able to sit in the garden. But you need to decide how it is that you can help yourself the most and make the most of this really extraordinary time.
Yes. And you can also join us on the Moon Circle on Friday night. Because we will be there holding a very beautiful circle and space, very much in honoring of all that we are moving through right now. And that will be a real, and that, yeah, it's just such a beautiful collective consciousness right there in those circles.
And actually, just talking about that, one of the important things to note about that is when we gather together with intention for the same thing, it creates much more or brings much more energy to it. So we know that more than one person praying at the same time is very, very powerful. That's why we do sadhana. That's why we do yoga together. That's why we do meditation together. That's why we do healing circles together. That's why we do moon circles together. It's coming together and becoming one consciousness with one intention. We can all have our own individual intentions, but there will be one collective intention. We'll be working towards ultimately peace, love, hope, these higher aspects that we want to attain. And when we come together focused on that, it is really, really powerful. And that's why it's good to gather. That's why gathering is so important. And that gathering, we're very fortunate because we can transcend timelines. We don't even need to be in the same place. So now we can just, you know, I can be one place, Leela can be another, I could be on the other side of the world, and we can be there together. And so that in itself is a demonstration of just how far we've come already. And I think as well, you know, this lunar eclipse, it's lovely that we're meeting on the Friday, really, because, and we did think about changing it for the Saturday, but I think what's important for Saturday is to be able to actually just be in the energy, to maybe even just make that opportunity to, you know, make space around it, to do some of your own kind of work, but to have that guidance of what is it that I can do on that day, to have a ritual to do, to have some practices to do, to contemplate where it is you want to bring your life into balance. That is what we're being asked for. You know, the lunar eclipse is in Libra, and it is about how we can come back into balance. And that is in balance with nature. It's in balance with everything. It's the real recognition that we are not separate, truly contemplating what it means to embody as above, so below, as within, so without.
Pretty exciting.
I think so.
Very, very, very powerful. And yeah. And so if you're listening to this and you're kind of like a bit flawed or a bit not sure, or you have questions, have the questions, have them, let them come, write them down in a journal or write them to us. Like these are moments of great awakening, and if we can't start to question things, we're not ever going to make change. You always want to be questioning everything, and even when you realize you figured it out, question that too. Is this true? Is this real? If you feel like you're getting exhausted with the questioning, then stop questioning. But then when you realize that perhaps you're in a holding pattern, the only way through that is to start to ask questions. It's a really, really beautiful practice of self-contemplation. Yeah, it is. What a time to be alive. It's a very, what this, yeah.
So I think, absolutely. That self-inquiry is really important. And all I think about when I hear that is just my my first Kundalini teacher, Guru Das, who would just shake his head at us and say, none of this is real. And I think at times he had that, you know, he dropped into that. And I feel much more that now I remember at the time just it being just something he was saying. It never really had any meaning to me. I was still in that very sort of wide-eyed, what is he even talking about? But the more you start to become the observer rather than stuck in it and feeling like that's too for you, being, the more you can start to see, you start to notice what is the truth, what is it. And I think as well, just to remember, we are, like we were saying, this Venus gateway, you can still work on the Venus gateway. And this Venus gateway was for the throat chakra. It's a very powerful time to find your true voice. And this is not the voice that, you know, it's not about can you find the voice to start shouting at people. It's can you find the true voice of your soul? Can you actually start to speak that voice? And what would it mean to walk life like that? And actually trust that voice inside of you. This is the path without, I don't even doubt it for a moment. And I don't believe that it's impossible at all. I don't think we need to live in a cave. I don't think we need to leave our homes. I don't think we need to leave our children or our family, our husbands, our jobs. I don't think you need to change anything. I think it's about completely accepting where you are, trusting that the universe, or currently your conscious mind, has deemed this is what you need. And then once you start to listen to that deep inner true voice, that will start to change if it's meant to. And my answer to that is sadhana, meditation, continually sitting with yourself whenever you can.
Wow, amazing. On that note, I've got a group of teenage girls turning up shortly.
Well, it was nice hanging out. It was nice being able to chat. We're going to try and do it some more, I think. We have lots we want to talk about. It's not just around eclipses and stuff like that. There's so much I think we have to talk about around stress, around I have a lot to talk about around menopause, and around our roles as women moving forward, and what it is to embody motherhood, all those things that we're very passionate about. So we will be hopefully here again next week.
Yes, hopefully. Great, lock me in. Lovely. Well, right. On that note, Satnam, thank you.
Bye.
So much love.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us on this podcast episode. These are sound bites and conversations about things we think are important to support the collective ascension towards more love, acceptance, hope, and harmony on the planet Earth. Together, we can continue to support each other through conversations that need to be held. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do share it with your people. We would love it if you subscribe to our channel and even rate the podcast if you feel called to. You can also find us and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Spotify just by searching the 13 Moons Women's Temple.